turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11.
I am testing 1, 2, 3. Hebrews chapter 11. I guess I've just given a lot of thought the last couple of days to Morgan. And so that thought and her life has really been on my mind, as it's been on several of yours, most of yours. And I kind of walked away with several thoughts, and as I shared yesterday at the funeral, one of my main thoughts of her was her faith. And if you couldn't walk away from her testimony, whether it was just, maybe you didn't know her that well, but just reading her Karen Bridge and just to see how she handled herself, and the faith of her family, but faith of a 12-year-old girl. You know, it's just amazing how the faith of a 12-year-old girl can touch so many. But that's because it's a simple faith. We like to complicate everything. We like to make it so, you know, put it in our own little box and add 20 other things to it that never should have been there. Faith is just simply putting your trust in the Lord. But it's just, it's hard. It's easy to say, it's hard to do. You know, all of us, many of us in this room have been Christians a long time. And yet some of us can say, I don't believe I have that strong a faith of a 12-year-old girl. And so I had the question, not just from one, but from several, how do we have that faith? And let's just have a word study tonight on faith. And this will be a familiar subject to you. But let's just think about it just for a minute. Look with me and let's look at Hebrews chapter 11. And this is called, you know, the faith chapter, but we won't read the whole thing. Let's look at verse 1 for just a second. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. And let's go on down to verse 6. But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So God desires for us to have faith. In fact, without faith, He says it's impossible to please Him. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's the ability to trust in someone you have never seen before. Verse 7, we'll use Noah tonight as our example. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Let's pray. We thank You, Lord, for Your love for us. Thank You that You sent Your Son to die on the cross for us and give us life that we might have eternal life. We thank You for the life of Morgan. We thank You for the truth of faith. I pray tonight it would again be very simply explained, but in very much detail. And God, that each of us would grow in our faith. We ask this in Your name. Amen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. And we preached on faith, you know, 5 or 6 times specifically over this many years. And I think one of my favorite definitions of faith is just, Brother Weatherby said it one time in one of his messages, a pastor friend of mine, the Victory Baptist Church in Weatherford. He said, faith just simply means it's a matter of time. It's going to happen. Whatever God has spoken, whatever God has said in His Word, it's going to happen. It's confident expectation. Just know it's going to happen. And so there are kajillion definitions of faith out there. We'll give you a few more tonight. We are saved by grace through faith, according to the mercies of God. I'm thankful tonight that I'm saved. I'm thankful tonight that I didn't have to earn my way to heaven. But I simply have been given salvation by faith through grace. Grace by grace through faith. The Bible tells us that whatsoever is not of faith is of sin. Romans chapter 14, verse 23. That's a tough one. Think about that one for a moment. Putting our confidence in God. Putting our confidence in God above self. Above me. A confidence in the Lord. Again, we just read Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. 2 Corinthians, Paul tells us to walk by faith and not by sight. And we know the greatest illustration of that is found in the Old Testament. When the children of Israel came out of Egypt and crossed over the river Jordan, crossed over the Red River, crossed over the Red Sea. It was red, apparently. I don't know. Crossed over the Red Sea and God did all those great miracles for them. And then when they came to the River Jordan, they stopped. They sent in those 12 spies. Two came back. Caleb and Joshua said, we were well able to overcome them. And then the other 10 said, no, we are as grasshoppers in our own sight. And they did not cross the River Jordan and go into the land that God had said He would give them. That's the key to the whole thing. God said, this is your land. They had left it 400 years earlier. It had already been promised to Abraham. He said, you're to go in the land and occupy it, and God would deliver them from their enemies. And yet, because of their lack of faith, they did not enter into the promised land. And yet, they walked through the desert wilderness for 40 years. They walked through the wilderness following a cloud by day and a fire by night. They walked through the wilderness being given bread in the morning, except for Saturdays, but given bread in the morning, quail in the evening, everything provided for them, their clothes didn't wear out. They were walking by sight. They were walking by sight. They were walking by what they could see. As long as that cloud was there, they knew where to walk and what to do. As long as that fire was there, they knew what to do. As long as they got up in the morning and the bread was on the ground, they knew what to do. They were walking by sight instead of by faith. A lot of us are the same way. And from time to time, we exercise that faith and we hop over Jordan for a while, you know. We really do. We exercise our faith. But a lot of times we, as Christians, live on this side of Jordan and we don't exercise our faith, but we live by sight. What has God done for me today? It's amazing how quickly we forget what He did for us yesterday. Amen. That's what the children of Israel did, man. God provided all these things for them, but they got in a little tight spot where they didn't have enough water and they began to murmur and complain. And, you know, Moses, you brought us out here to die. And God just provided, we just threw a stick in some sour water and it came sweet. Did y'all see that? You didn't see what God parted the Red Sea. Man. Didn't you see, you know, congealed? You know that I always tell you about, it was like Jell-O. You could stick your hand in there and catch a fish. That would have been awesome. I just want to go back and do that. But they got to see that. And on top of that, they got to see God, you know, let the waters come back and kill the whole Egyptian army, including Pharaoh. Pharaoh died. Dead in the doornail. So they got up the next morning. The psalmist tells us when they got up the next morning, they saw the soldiers floating by the shore. Dead. God did that. And yet, just a few days later, they were complaining about having no water. And, you know, God told Moses to throw the stick in the water and it became sweet. But then they get down the road a little longer and they're murmuring again. They were living by sight. And again, we all do that. We all experience that. And that's why we always refer back to the children of Israel as a means of illustrating the Christian life. Because it does illustrate. Their pilgrimage, their history helps us understand what our Christian life is like if we're not careful. Right? And so, the walking by sight instead of by faith. And we need to walk by faith. It is through faith that we have access to grace. See, we're not only saved by grace, but we're to live by grace. But that grace for living isn't earned. That power for living the Christian life, the life that God intends for us to live, is not earned. You don't just, you know, you don't serve as a Sunday school teacher and an usher and knock every door in the city of Haslett and give half your belongings to the Lord and read your Bible every day. In fact, you read more than you should. You know, you read 10 chapters instead of 3. I don't know if that's more than you should, but you give more. Doing doesn't give you grace. Doing doesn't give you that power you need to live the Christian life. No, it's given by grace. It's given freely. You know what? Sometimes we as Christians, we got it all figured out. And so we don't have to live by faith. Right? I mean, we got our job. Houses, got making the payments. you know, food on the table. We're in America. You know, the land of plenty. And so a lot of times our faith is very rarely ever exercised. And so therefore we're constantly living by sight. And it's not until something happens, usually physically, or something happens financially, or something happens to us in various ways in which our faith is finally tested. And then, many times, we try to do something to manipulate the situation in order to overcome it. Instead of falling on our face, humbling before God and saying, God, I don't know what to do. Lord, help me. And I'm so glad He does. Lord, and I would encourage you, when you do get to that point and those spots, by the way, everybody does. That's going to come to your life now and again. It's just going to happen. That God intends for it to happen, to exercise our faith. And when we get to that point, humbly ask for grace. Humbly ask for God's power, God's enablement to overcome the situation. We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us and gave Himself for us. But we find that power and that strength to overcome, to be more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. If you never exercise your faith will never become stronger. If you continue to just manipulate situations in order to overcome them. So it is through faith we have access to grace. Romans chapter 5, we won't turn there for lack of time, but verses 1 and 2. So when you need that grace, and that's what I was alluding to with the Wildmans, is it's a matter of going to the Lord and say, Lord, I don't know why this has happened. I don't know where this is, why this has come our way, but Lord, I'm putting my faith and confidence in You. I don't have to ask why when I know who. And Lord, give me grace to go through the trial. Lord, give me grace to overcome the circumstances that have been sent my way. And He will give you grace. And we've heard many songs written about it. Amazing grace, how sweet the sounds. Not just talking about salvation. It is by grace that we receive faith as well. So they're interlinked. It's by faith we have access to grace, but it's also by grace we have faith. Grace simply means God's unmerited favor. Freely given favor. In other words, it's free. As we think about faith, we think about the definition. Here's a few definitions. Complete trust, confidence, or reliance. It means to trust that it results in actions. And that's another important thing. Faith is not faith unless it's acted upon. Faith is not faith. Belief that is acted upon. That's faith. And we use a silly illustration about jumping up in a chair, and I won't do that tonight, but you say the chair will hold you. Well, that's fine and dandy, but you don't know if it's going to hold you until you sit in it, until you have confidence to sit in it. There's a few chairs I've seen I wouldn't want to sit in. I'm glad we have nice, comfortable chairs to have confidence in, right? And so we exercise that faith. And that is silly compared to the faith that the Lord gives us when it comes to the trials and things that come into our life. Faith. Hebrews chapter 11 is a great chapter on faith. We find various men and women of the Old Testament who exercised faith. It's encouraging to go back and read about, Noah and so many of the others who exercised their faith. Abel and Enoch and going down through there, Abraham. It's a faith chapter, but can we be reminded that it's not just a faith chapter, it's a faith in God chapter. Again, I can put my faith in a chair and sit in it. There's a big difference between putting my faith in a chair and putting my faith in God. In other words, we don't want to get to the place where we put our faith in our faith. Oftentimes, we get our focus is faith instead of our focus being God. So don't get in this circle of logic where you're thinking about faith and praying for faith. No, pray to God. God is the central focus. So faith. And then sometimes we get in the position where we ask the question, well, we have faith, but we have faith in the faith. In other words, this body of truth, we sometimes will get the idea, well, do I know enough? Or do I have enough information to exercise my faith? And the answer is yes. Because God will do above and beyond whatever you think or ask. And we've said from the pulpit many times, most of us in here tonight are well, far educated beyond measure, beyond our application. In other words, we know much more of the Bible than we apply. So you should never get to the point when your life, and this happens mainly to probably to new Christians. I've heard that's you know, a few times, well, do I know enough, preacher? What do I need to study to have faith? And I said, well, you don't study necessarily to have faith. You go to God for faith. God gives you faith. He gives it to you freely. You don't have to read the Bible. Sure, you should read the Bible because the Bible is going to enable you to put you in a position where you're in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. But it doesn't necessarily, you know, give you faith. Faith comes from the Lord. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. I understand that. But faith comes from God. Don't ever forget that. Faith is restful reliance upon God. It's looking back at certain past accomplishments. It's looking at God's creation. It's looking to the crucifixion of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it is looking to the completed Word of God and having restful reliance, complete trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. If you can truly rest, completely trust Jesus Christ in every situation, that's faith. Every situation. No matter what you're going through. As I said, preached Sunday, that God works all things together for good. Everything that comes into our life has either been allowed or put there by the Lord Himself. You say, well, you know, I'm not saying the Lord, you know, made you trip down the stairs, okay? I think Brother House said that one time. You know, be careful. I don't think the Lord, but the Lord brought He brought much your way. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, we think of Noah. As he prepared this ark, he acted, and he acted long term. Can you imagine? It had never rained upon the earth before. Man was wicked. In fact, the Bible says that man's thoughts were evil only continually. And here is righteous Noah. That's what Hebrews tells us. That he was righteous. That he lived right. He was doing right. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord in the midst of these maybe possibly as many as 2 or 3 billion people. Noah was the only righteous person alive. Him and his family. Isn't that amazing? And God came to Noah and said to Noah, build an ark. I'm going to send rain upon the earth. What's rain? Build an ark. There was no questions asked. Isn't that amazing? Noah, he simple obedience. God gave him the plan. God gave him the pattern. Build a big boat. Just a big box. Remember, it wasn't even a boat. In fact, I had issues when we had our children and they were babies. I told my wife, I don't want any ark pictures that look like a boat. Because the boat didn't, anyway. It didn't look like a boat. It was just a big box. 300 feet long, approximately, maybe a little longer, depending on your definition of a cubit, which is from your elbow to the tip of your finger. Could be as much as 17 and a half inches to 22 and a half inches. But even if you use the smallest measurement, 17 and a half inches, that still means the ark was 300 feet long by 75 feet wide by 45 feet tall. That's a big boat. That is a big boat. They've done many studies, and I've got it here where they've done a study that one of the best designs for a boat to float and not capsize is what God had Noah build. In fact, it was just basically impossible for this boat to flip. Amazing. Noah, long term, again, 100 years building on this thing. At least 100, possibly 120, depending on how you read it. And not only was he building this ark, but he was preaching to them. He was preaching the law to them. The New Testament tells us he was a preacher of righteousness. He preached to them. He preached to that God-forsaken generation. One of the statistics talking about the ark was that it was big enough to hold all the animals at that time in the earth could have been put in 150 boxcars, railroad boxcars. That's another misnomer. The scientists like to laugh. How did they get all them various animals in them? A bunch of nonsense. The ark was 530 something boxcars big, you know, railroad boxcars. Only needed 150 for the animals. Average size of an animal is smaller than a sheep. It's amazing. Once you do all the math, there's no problem. By the way, it didn't have to take, you know, a full-grown, you know, dinosaur, right? And plus, all the big dinosaurs get pressed. Most of the dinosaurs were not that big. You say there was dinosaurs on the ark? Absolutely there was. There's not a doubt in my mind there was dinosaurs on the ark. Not a doubt. Not one. You say, well, have you seen the science? I love science. Science is my, besides the Bible, growing up, science was my favorite subject. If I hadn't become a preacher, I was going to become a paleontologist. I loved it. I hunted fossils all over North Texas. My dad used to drop me off in a creek and say, get at it. And he'd come back 4 or 5 hours later, and I'd have a bucket full of fossils. And I still got my little box that some of y'all laugh about. I still got it. I have a box that I have moved from house to house. I think me and my wife have lived in like 13 homes over the past 21 years, and I still have the box of fossils. I love the subject. I taught biology teacher in the ninth grade gave me an opportunity to teach on creation. He taught on evolution 1 week, and I taught on creation the next week in the ninth grade. And I enjoyed it. And it was, to me, it made absolutely logical sense and scientific sense as much on the creation side and more on the creation side, I believe, than on the evolutionary side. Absolutely, there were dinosaurs in the ark. In fact, if you want some interesting reading, when the children of Israel crossed over the Red Sea, the psalmist says, when they got up the next morning, they saw the dead soldiers, but they also saw Leviathan. They also saw dead dinosaurs floating as well. So apparently the rush of the water also killed some of the fish and dinosaurs that were in the water. That's interesting. Go read it. All you got to do is just type in Leviathan and it'll give you all the... Anyway. All right. So the ark was built in that it was big enough not only to hold Noah's Noah's family and all the animals, but it had room enough to house a lot of people. We must remember, in fact, Peter tells us that God was long-suffering in the days of Noah. God was long-suffering in the days of Noah. God is a merciful and gracious God. And he, as Noah was preaching, no doubt, Noah would have wanted converts. Just as when I preach on Sunday, I want to see people get saved. And no doubt Noah was expecting and hoping that that many would get saved. So Noah prepared this ark, Genesis chapter 6, verses 14 through 16. And and there's such great intricate detail about how he pitched it without and within. And that tar resin and made it waterproof. And just an amazing picture there of how the Lord Jesus Christ, His blood covers our sins. And the ark was an amazing picture of the Lord Jesus Christ as Noah and his family were asked to come into the ark. I believe the Lord was inside the ark telling them, come in. It doesn't say go in. It says come in. Go back and read it. They came into the ark and God shut the door. And 7 days later, it began to rain. Noah built the ark in simple obedience to God because God told him to do it. It's one thing for him to build it. It's another thing for him to get in it. His faith was exercised when he came into the ark. His faith was exercised, of course, when he obeyed God as well. But when it came down to the rubber meeting the road, he walked in that ark because he knew, fully trusted, that it was going to rain. Why? Because God told him it was going to. That's faith. Never seen rain before. It had never rained upon the earth, the Bible said. Never rained. But Noah believed. Noah had faith. Noah had faith. Tonight, as we think about it, how's your faith tonight? I mean, do you have Morgan faith? Do you have Noah faith? How is your faith tonight? I don't know what trial or what measure of problem you may be going through tonight, whether it's financial or relational, physical, but how's your faith? When Jesus promised that He would never leave us nor forsake us, do you completely trust Him that He's trustworthy and that He will do that? When Paul tells us that God will supply all of our needs, do you truly believe that? When we think about chapter 8, verse 28 and 29, where it says, God works all things together for good, do you really believe that? Faith. Stories told of a science teacher, a professor, who was working in a class and teaching about various things, but one day he taught on the pendulum. And in class, they built this very large pendulum. And, you know, the pendulum goes back and forth, you know, like on the bottom of a grandfather clock. But they built this huge pendulum, as big as a person. And he was teaching them how that, you know, when the pendulum is raised up and it's let go, that when it comes back the next time, it doesn't come back as far as it did the first time. But slowly but surely, it loses its, you know, its motion. And so they got it all done. He asked one of the students, he said, all right, we know the science behind it. We know that when it comes back the second time, it's not going to go quite as far. He said, now I want one of you students to get up there and stand there while we swing this pendulum the first time. And he had already worked out the math, knew that it wouldn't hit him. Couldn't get no volunteers. Isn't that just like us, though? You know, we know, again, our education far exceeds our application. We know the Word of God. We do, most of us. There's some new Christians here tonight that are still coming along, and you know, but a lot of us in here have been a long time, and we know the Bible. We know the Word of God. Are we fully trusting in God as we should in every area of our life? Faith is acting on it. Faith is the student getting in there inside the pendulum and letting the professor swing it. Just to be reminded that faith is acting upon what God has said. And I have no idea what's going on tonight in your life, but maybe there's something in your life going on right now. You need to act upon your faith. Apply it. Apply what God has sent you, what God has told you, what God has given you through His Word, and exercise that faith. Secondly, before we dismiss, faith is exercise. So every problem, every circumstance that comes in our life is just a stepping stone to exercise your faith. It's absolutely true. Every small thing you go through brings you to a larger thing that allows your faith to grow. And we see this simple explanation as David. David fought the bear. David fought the lion before he ever fought Goliath. You exercise your faith. But you've got to step out and do it first. Maybe tonight your faith needs to be exercised. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the truths found in your word. Very simply tonight, we've preached on faith, and Lord, it's easy to talk about, but hard to practice. Help us as Christians to fully trust in you. Help us to put our complete confidence in you. Help us to exercise our faith. We thank you for your love for us. We thank you for the grace you so bestowed upon us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all